You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five son, Daniel, in studio with us. And it is critical to teach your children the Word of God for a number of reasons. Well, first of all, the government's okay with it, but here's the way they want it taught. This, according to the Gibson versus Lee County School Board decision, it was a district court decision back in 1998. This was related to the prohibiting of the school district from teaching a New Testament curriculum in a new high school class called Bible History. The court held that the curriculum presented matters of religious faith, such as the miracles and the resurrection of Jesus, as historical fact, and thus violated the constitutional requirement that any teaching about the Bible in public schools must be presented objectively as part of a secular program of education, i.e., it has to be presented from a distinctively naturalistic, materialistic, atheistic, God is not involved with this universe kind of a worldview. It was the wrong religion. If you're going to teach the Bible in the public schools, my friends, you've got to pick the right religion. That is an atheistic or naturalistic religion. Please, whatever you do, don't use the supernaturalistic worldview. And if you are a Christian parent listening to this program today, your child has an 80% chance of leaving the faith when he leaves the home. Just deal with that statistic, my friends. That statistic has been proven again and again, and the Southern Baptists have used it, Nehemiah Institute, Barna Research, they've all reported on it. 80% chance that your child will leave the Christian faith. If you're an average Christian parent, my guess is you send your kid to a youth group, Sunday school, children's church, and the public school, and all of that will be in vain. You will lose 4 out of 5 of your kids. Statistically, it's been proven. So parents, let's deal with that statistic. 4 out of 5 of your kids will not be interested in your faith. Today we want to go to the heart of parents. You're going to lose 4 out of 5. Is that the kind of vision you have for your children? Is that the kind of passion that you have for God, for Jesus, and for His kingdom? Parents, I think it begins with you. Your heart has got to be in the right place. If you don't have a passion for your kids today, right now, if you don't have a passion for God and His kingdom, you're not ready for this program today. You know, 4 out of 5 kids, Dave, there's a problem with that. That's unacceptable to me. I'm not going to accept the fact that 4 out of 5 of my kids are going to walk away from the faith. I mean, which ones am I ready to lose? I'm going to lose Daniel, Rebecca, Joy, Bethany, and I'll save Abigail. But forget about Emily and the others. What am I going to say? Am I going to say 4 out of 5? Well, that sounds good to me. That's not my heart. That's not where I'm at. I don't want to lose 4 out of 5 of my kids. I don't care what Barna says. I don't care what the Southern Baptists say. If it's send them to church youth group and send them to public school and send them to all of that, and that's the way you're going to save 4 out of 5, that's unacceptable, my friends. I think today it's important to get back to what God says about educating a child. Yeah. Why? Well, because God knows a lot. He's really smart. And I think all of us agree here in this room. Everybody nodding? Yeah. Okay, everybody agrees that God is smart. God made us. He knows everything about educating a child. He knows everything about discipling a child. And I'm thinking maybe it's time to get back to God's Word and find out what God says about discipling and educating a child. Now, in Deuteronomy 6:7, He's got a little bit of a nugget there that is specifically targeted towards the education and discipleship of a child. It's a very simple statement, my friends. Teach your children my words diligently as you walk by the way, as you sit in your house, as you rise up, and as you lie down. It's just that simple. And here's the key. The passage is directed to parents. Not to the youth group leader, not to the Sunday school teacher, not to the day school teacher. It's directed to parents. you parents teach your children diligently. And Dave, I think if more parents could catch the vision of Deuteronomy 6:7, we would do better than batting 200 at the salvation of our children by the time they leave the home. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we want to talk with Lou Priolo. He has written a book on this verse. Lou Priolo, the author of a book called Teach Them Diligently, will be with us on this program in just a moment. Stay with us.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the World Views, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome back to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you today. And today on this program, we want to deal with the subject of teaching your children diligently, applying the Deuteronomy 6:7 passage, which we have mentioned a few times on this program, I might add. But with me on the air is Lou Priolo. He is the author of a number of great books, Heart of Anger, and now the most recent book, Teach Them Diligently. Lou, welcome to Generations.
Thank you, Kevin.
Lou, you have a couple of children yourself. How old are they?
Sophia is 14, Gabriella is 6.
So you've had the opportunity to teach them diligently over the years. How's it going?
Going well. We're very encouraged so far in the process.
Good deal. Well, let's get into Deuteronomy 6:7, which is really the core verse, at least the verse that you take the title of your book from. Teach them diligently as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. You know, as you read that book, or as you read that verse, Lou, you don't get the idea this is a 12-minute devotional at the beginning of the day. It seems more integrated than that.
It is, Kevin. It's much more integrative than that. This passage teaches that we're to teach our children the Bible throughout the day. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, means, well, basically everywhere. God wants us to teach and apply the Scriptures to our children in all kinds of places, in all types of circumstances, pretty much whenever and wherever life takes us.
Yeah, and it doesn't really seem to be a classroom situation. It appears more to be a day-to-day conversation. How do you do that specifically in your home, Lou? Do you have conversations with your children?
Well, again, I try to bring the Scriptures up throughout the day. Yes, when we're one of my girls goes to school, so I drive her. The other one is homeschooled. So I try to talk to them when there are opportunities for me to talk. I mean, whether we're outside catching doodle bugs, whether we're at home. We do have regular family times, we call them, when we discuss the Bible and specifically how the Bible relates to the different problems that they're facing.
Yeah, and I think it's a little of both. We do the integrated talking about God and His Word around the dinner table, in the car, different experiences throughout the day. But we also have a regular period of time where we sit down and walk through the Bible. So it appears to be a both and. It's good to have a disciplined time because sometimes if you don't have that sit down and actually study God's Word, you never really get to it.
Right. And again, we have pretty much divided into two sections. The first thing I'll do is I'll ask the girls, Kim or my wife or the girls, if there's anything going on in their lives that we need to address. And then what I try to do is to sort of take the Scriptures to them and their problems, show them how to I try to answer their questions or their problems or their concerns with specific passages of Scripture. And then if there happens to be nothing on the docket for that particular day that anyone thinks we need to discuss, then we'll go to a more, I call it a more of a canned approach, more of the prepared Bible study method. Now, again, that's just the way that we do it. There are lots of ways to skin this catfish biblically.
Yeah, and ultimately, when the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 6, I think it's verse 8, to write the Word on the posts of your house, it's really not possible to write the entire Bible on the post of your house. I'm not sure I know of anybody who's actually done that. but it seems to me that there ought to be some specific texts, some word, part of the Word that really applies to certain families, certainly at certain times, and God wants us to choose the right texts.
Well, right. That passage, really, I think it's to be taken metaphorically, not literally. In other words, we should teach our children that the Scriptures are to govern all of life. To bind them as a simile, a metaphor, as a sign on your hands, means that the Scripture governs our actions. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. The Scriptures govern our thoughts. We should write them on the doorposts of our house, whether or our gates of our city. Whether we're at home or in the city, the Scriptures are applicable. Out of town, the Scriptures are applicable. We should teach our children that the Scriptures are to govern all of life. And I am a believer that we should try very hard to focus our attention, as I say, on the specific portions of Scripture that deal with the particular issues with which our children are struggling. In fact, there's an appendix in Teach Them Diligently. It starts on page 131, where we've got like 52 common childhood behaviors and attitude problems, and then specific passages of Scripture that the parents can go to help identify and even correct those very common problems.
All right. When you look at teach them diligently, you've got that key word diligently. I assume that's an important word. What does it mean?
Well, first of all, a lot of people misunderstand the title. They think teach them diligently and the them refers to the children. It doesn't. The them refers to the Scriptures. These words which I command you this day, mom and dad, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them, i.e. the Scriptures, diligently to your children. It's really a single Hebrew word. It means to impress deeply, or really to say something twice. It's really related to the number two. It also means to say it again or to repeat. It's used of sharpening a sword, because in the whetting process, the blade is repeatedly struck or rubbed against the honing stone. So the emphasis of the word is not so much on that of merely rote learning, but rather of applying truth to situation after situation to which it corresponds. Surely our children must learn the truth, but repeatedly, and it's our job to do this, they must be shown how it applies to everyday real life circumstances. We've got to integrate the truth of God's word with the life of our children.
And I think any parent understands this, that the first time your child disobeys mom and dad when he's, you know, 1, 2 years old, at the very beginning, it's not like, you know, you pull out the Word of God and say, now here, children obey father and mother. Did you get it? All right. Well, that's the last time we're going to touch on that topic. Lou, that topic comes up again and again. You can definitely see that this is not something that happens immediately. There is a forming, there is a shaping that happens with God's Word as we apply it again and again.
Right. You don't just take that sword or that knife and strike it once against the honing stone. You've got to do it again and again and again. Now think of how many times you read a particular passage, and then, you know, 5 years later, you read it for the 437th time, and all of a sudden, you know, the light goes on. You see something there that you never saw before. So we're sinners, and our intellect, our thinking, all of our internal being, really an external being, has been affected by the fall. So we just need to be patient and realize that our children are made of the same stuff that we are.
Folks, today talking about the core curriculum in the education of a child. God wants us to teach the Word of God to our children as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down. And that's the book, Teach Them Diligently. That's what this book is about, written by Lou Priolo. And Lou, what do you think is the balance between teaching the Bible and teaching other things like catechisms or theologies, those sorts of things?
Well, I think the balance, first of all, is probably going to be different for every family and really every child for that matter. Catechisms are very useful for, among other things, giving children a systematic grid for theology, a filter, if you please, to help them screen out error. But the Bible is essential to the child sanctification process. 2 Timothy 3:16, 15 and 16, from childhood, literally from a very babe, Timothy, Paul reminds him, from a very babe you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is really something that is necessary for our child sanctification, that we've got to give our children the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word that's internalized, that's in their heart, that the Spirit uses to change them from the inside out. So, I mean, I'm a big believer in catechism, but I believe that the Bible has even more value than catechism, because that's what the Spirit says He's going to use to transform our children, first of all, to save them, and then to transform them into the image of Christ.
How does that work out in your family? Do you spend, you know, X amount of time on catechisms and other books, other spiritual books and theological training programs for your children, and X amount of time reading the Bible? I know different families do it differently, but how do you do it?
Right, and again, I think there's no one answer that sort of fits everyone. You know, thankfully, our church has a catechism program, so we pretty much leave the catechism up to the leadership, the catechism classes in the church, and then we'll go over the catechism verses with them so that they'll learn them. But we spend, and, you know, we'll review the verses and the questions and answers with them. But and my wife really does more of that even than I do. But my job as the father, I think, is to just take the scriptures and teach them how to understand and apply the scriptures to the particular issues that they are facing, whether it's a conflict with their siblings, situation at school, or maybe a teacher was not fair, feelings of loneliness or anxiety. I mean, whatever the kids are going through, I want to know what's going on in their heart, and I want to be able to take them to the right passage of scripture to show them how they should think about it as Christians, and how they should respond to the trials and the problems and the situations in their life.
Now, you just said something really important, Lou, and that is the Bible has got to be lived out. In fact, I think it's James that was pretty insistent on that. You've got to do the Word of God. But now, this may be a little bit of a tricky question. I'm not sure there's a simple answer for it. How do you teach this such that your teaching will translate into the character and the life of your child?
All right, well, the first thing, I think, Kevin, is as a parent, we've got to know which portions of Scripture may be used for each specific sanctifying purpose. We've got, you know, these words that I command you this day shall be on your heart. Mom and Dad, it's your job to know what the Bible says and where the Bible says it. So we've got to be familiar with the Scriptures. Secondly, we've got to develop the ability to sufficiently explain the portions that we're using. We've got to be able to unpack and repack for the children what the passage says and how it applies to their life. And then probably the most important thing, in fact, this is so important, I cannot emphasize it enough, we've got to encourage our children to internalize Scripture, especially those portions of Scripture that deal with the specific sins they're trying to put off and the specific character traits that they're trying to replace those sinful character flaws, character deficiencies with.
You know, as I think about working Scripture into the lives of my children, you know, Lou, I think that prayer plays an important part here, because when you pray for your children, you show your children, especially when you're doing it in front of your children, you definitely show them that you care about them and you really desire the Spirit of God to work those things into their hearts and lives.
Right, and I believe prayer is also, as the Word of God is, a means of grace, and I think we're kidding ourselves to think that, you know, we're going to accomplish anything apart from bathing it and saturating it in prayer. And now, teach our children to pray as well.
You bet. You bet. Okay, so we're kind of trying to construct an idea in terms of what an education consists of, especially an education that's rooted in the Scriptures. And yet, education is more than that. How does the Bible work into the education of a child and relate to the other subjects, Lou? Is the Bible just another subject? Should it just be another class in the day? Or should it be something more integrated into the whole day?
Well, I think the Bible should be more than a course, especially for homeschoolers. It's our necessary food. So I like to think of it not so much in terms of a school course, but a course of a delicious meal. Job said, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So I think it's a very, very important part. I think it's more important than the other curriculum. I think the Bible is a living book, and it has the power to save our children and, as I said, to transform them into the image of Christ. And I can't see too many things that are more important than that.
And yet, while you teach the Bible to your children, it seems to me there are some portions of the Scripture that may be more applicable to the paideia of a child. In fact, the book of Proverbs seems to present itself as a book that is focused on the raising of a son or a child. You've got 31 chapters there of character lessons that a father is working into the life of his son. And so, is it possible that there are certain books that are a little more targeted towards the raising of a child versus, say, Song of Solomon that deals more in the area of intimate love?
Sure. Well, first of all, we've got to say that all Scripture is useful for teaching, for convicting, for correction, and for training children in righteousness. So we don't want to minimize the value of the rest of Scripture. But there are certain books, and Proverbs, I agree, Proverbs is my favorite book. Proverbs was specifically written to help a father to teach his children wisdom. And as he said, Solomon does, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. So yeah, I think Proverbs, I think the book of James, the Sermon on the Mount, the wisdom passages of Scripture, I think are very, very helpful. But as I say, then there are going to be some times when your child is going to be struggling with a particular issue that may be more thoroughly covered in another portion of Scripture. So it really gets down to, as a parent, we have got to know the Scriptures. These things which I have commanded you today, mom and dad, shall be on your hearts.
Got to know the Scriptures, got to know your children, and then put them together. I guess that's the message today on Generations. Folks, talking to Lou Priolo, author of Teach Them Diligently. And Lou, I don't think there are enough parents out there doing Deuteronomy 6-7. You know, I think if there were more parents out there, we wouldn't have 80% of Christian children leaving the faith when they leave the home. That statistic, I think, has been repeated in a couple of surveys. Barna, Southern Baptists have done something similar. I'm concerned about this issue. Are you?
Oh yeah, I am. In fact, when I wrote Teach Them Diligently, of all the books I've ever written, probably of all the books I will ever write, the Lord willing, Teach Them Diligently is by far the most important book. The book just totally transformed my life, my evenings. When I understood what God expected of me as a father to teach my children the Scriptures, it really convicted me and it really compelled me to rearrange my priorities, because it really is the most important thing. And it's not easy to do this. It's not especially difficult, but it's time consuming, but the rewards are tremendous. So the bottom line is, yes, I really believe, I agree with you. If we as Christian parents really understood and knew how to apply Deuteronomy 6 through 9, our world would be different.
And you said it, Lou. And folks, if you're listening right now and God's convicting you with this, maybe you've been dropping the ball on something this important, you need to pick up the ball. I'd encourage you to get this book, Teach Them Diligently by Lou Priolo. That'd be a great start to recovering the vision of teaching your children, discipling them as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. Lou, thanks so much for joining us today on Generations.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation.
And folks, you can get this book, Teach Them Diligently, by calling our Resource Center at 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Or go to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Store. Again, Teach Them Diligently. Call 877-842-CHECK or kevinswanson.com and click on Store. And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you all back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.